but ancestors. This one is mine. Here she is, a young shoot, all green, unaware of the blade. If you had such a daughter, her chi, the boundless energy of life itself, speaking through her every motion, could you tell her that only a son could wield chi? That a daughter would risk shame, dishonor, exile. Ancestors, I could not.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
This is Cheap Seat Reviews.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Cheap Seat Reviews, the podcast that explores the Hollywood film industry for the greater good.
The greater good.
Hey, Andrew, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Good.
I've been better.
Yeah. We were talking right before we started recording. Back pain sucks. And I've been there, and I get you. So hopefully you can survive this episode and go get some relief soon.
I hope so.
No Sam this week. He's doing something more important, and that's fine. I think his kids were on spring break this week, so he took the kids to the beach, which is always fun. So this week, last week, we had a month of DC movies. We're doing, I think I'm going to try to do more themes this year. Not sure why, just seems like fun. So, yeah. So last month we did, month of February, was DC month movies, right? The DCEU. We watched four DCEU movies. And for the most part, I think we had a good time with it. You know, I don't think we really regretted it, other than I don't think really any of us liked Aquaman 2, but it was a good time. And I'm glad that I watched, that you made me watch most of them. So,
yeah. I mean, it proves that DC can do some decent things.
Yeah.
But for the most part.
But unfortunately, not good enough to maintain their franchise, because they have a new showrunner and all of those movies basically no longer exist. Yeah,
we're going to pretend like that whole era of DC didn't happen, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, which is fine. I'm doing all this to say that this month kicks off. We're going to do a whole month of family-friendly films. We had a listener request of a couple family-friendly movies, and I thought, well, that's actually a really cool idea. So this whole month is stuff you can watch with your kids, and I intend to watch all of them with mine, just like I did with this movie, so I can share a little bit of their opinions with you also. So with that being said, this is episode 473, and tonight we're talking about the live-action Mulan, Disney's Mulan. I am Sean. Jet Li still got moves, all red. And joining me tonight is Andrew. I am one with the Force, and the Force was with me, Jemison.
Oh, yeah. Donnie Yen. Yen, excuse me.
Yeah. He's great guy. He's great. I kind of wish we had more of him on screen doing more kung fu things. So let's sit back and dive into this movie. Get a comfy chair as we dive into the live-action Mulan from Disney. This is part of their we want to do live-action versions of all of our movies right now, because maybe they don't have good ideas for movies anymore. I don't know. But all of their movies they're doing live action. We've had live action Cinderella. We've had live action Little Mermaid. Mulan.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. There's a rumor for a live action Pocahontas coming out.
You know what the weirdest one is, though, is the live action, quote unquote, Lion King.
Yeah, that one, you're right. The live action Lion King, which is still, it's just still CGI.
It's animated.
It's still animated. It's not cartoon. It's CGI. But I forgot about that one, because I don't know why. I think it's probably the least memorable, honestly. I don't know. Oh, and live action Aladdin. Forgot about Aladdin. Live action Aladdin.
Yeah.
Will Smith doing a good job for the genie, I thought. And in fact, I think did good enough a job that they're making a second one.
Get my Sultan's name out your mother effing mouth.
Well, I wasn't expecting that, but yes.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Oh, that was great. So tonight we're doing Mulan because, well, we were asked to, and that's funny. I'm actually glad that this movie was requested of us because I probably would never have watched it again, because I did watch it when it, as soon as it hit Disney Plus, we watched it with the family, and I'll get into that when I do 5-word reviews in just a second. But I am glad that we watched this one again. So, Andrew, tell us, what is Mulan according to any reputable source that you have found?
I don't know how reputable. But IMDb says, to keep her ailing father from serving in the Imperial Army, a fearless young woman disguises herself as a man and battles northern invaders in China.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty accurate, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, one of my favorite kind of how to end this movie in 5 minutes is if she just lets her dad go to camp, and then the commander would have been like, oh, you're clearly not capable of fighting. So to save your honor, we're going to allow you to stay, but you won't be a soldier. You will be
a desk job.
Yeah, you'll be a cook or a thing. You are in a war before as a soldier.
Right.
So you clearly know the rules of war. So yeah, you'll be a clerk. You'll be like, there's ways to still serve honorably to your emperor and not be a foot soldier. Like,
yeah.
But this movie would be over in 5 minutes and you wouldn't have the story that you have. So you have to find a way to make Mulan do the thing that she does. But
yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about honor and honor for your family and honor for yourself and honor for your country. This culture really, that's what it's based around. And it would have been really easy. You know, I thought about how this movie would have been over sooner as well. With the dad, it, you know, maybe he poured a little water out of his bucket, or, you know, and, but honor is so important to them that he wouldn't have done that.
Yeah. I agree. So anyway, but we do have the movie to watch because they don't do those things. And so now we do our 5-word review to talk about this movie, Mulan. So what is your 5-word review?
Well, I just said a live action retelling of the story, because it is a story we already know, but it's not, well, it's more of a reimagining, I guess, of the story, because some things are different. We don't have Eddie Murphy. We don't have dragons and magical crickets and things that talk, but it is the same story, just told in a different way. Very similar way, but different at the same time. I, like you, am glad that I watched it again, because I think the first time I watched it, I was kind of like, ugh, Mulan, another live action Disney that I'm probably not going to enjoy. And I don't think I really tried to like it the first time. But it's a good movie. I mean, is it the best of their live action remakes? Probably not. But it's a good story. And I think it was told well.
Okay.
And it is a good family film, because it is about family. And like I said earlier, but it's about honor to your family, and it's one of those heartfelt moment movies.
Yeah, I agree. So my 5-word review, I did two, though technically one of them's 4 words. So I was trying to write, I wrote one. Right before, because I was running late because of family issues from the show, before the show. So I wrote one, and I didn't like the wording. And now that I'm looking at my second one that I wrote, or I don't really like the wording of it either, but I wrote closer to cultural storytelling. And that's not really what I'm trying to say. I think what I'm trying to say is this version is more Chinese appropriate than the cartoon.
Yeah.
It's way more words than five, but because the original one is a very Americanized story, you know, telling, right? Whereas this one is more Chinese appropriate, if that's a way to say it.
No, that makes total sense.
And then my other one was simply Better Than I Remembered.
Yeah.
So I love the original Mulan. I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. I love the songs. Alan Menken knocks it out of the park, you know, with the let's get down to business and all that stuff. And I really like that. I also really like the character Mulan, because in the cartoon, she's very clever, right? She she knows she can't outstrength any of the guys or really even outfight them, but she can outclever them, right? Which is how she's able to, how do you climb the pole? Well, it's kind of like what they do in Captain America, right? Well, if you can't climb the pole, then you have to change something, right? So, you know, in Captain America, he just pulls the pin, the pole falls over, he goes and picks up the flag. Whereas in this case, you know, she uses the weights that are meant to weigh her down as a strength by tying them together and climbing, you know, shimmying up the pole. So she's clever, right? How does she save the day in the big battle in the middle of the movie? By using the one rocket that they have to cause an avalanche, right? That's clever, right? Instead of hitting the guy in front of her, she takes out a whole army with this avalanche. Again, very clever. This movie, she's not that. She's not super clever. She is clever. I mean, she does force them to create their own avalanche that just, you know, destroys their own army. But for the most part, it's because of her chi, you know, the essence that is inside of her, her willingness to do whatever it takes, and also just her fighting force is just stronger than really anyone else. So it's,
and
just,
she's got that kind of the, well, it's her chi, right, that they talk about through the movie.
Yeah.
That gives her kind of a gracefulness, and I don't know if it's the fighting instinct that just kind of comes naturally to her.
Yeah. She's a warrior.
Also acrobatic, and I don't know how to explain it. It's like, I don't know. She moves like a samurai, like a acrobat, like a gymnast in a way as well. Dancer, maybe.
One of the neat things that they don't beat you over the head with them in the movie, which I appreciate, is like the majority of the fighting style, it's all kung fu, right? This is Chinese style kung fu. This is why they have Jet Li, and this is why they have Donnie Yen in these movies, because these are famous Chinese kung fu masters. It would have been only just a little bit cooler if they could have found a way to get Jackie Chan in this movie. But they're both of those, Jet Li and Jackie Chan, or Jet Li and Donnie Yen, are their style of martial arts are different. Well, Donnie Yen also specializes in his own thing. But my point is that she is Tai Chi, very fluid, very, very use your enemy's power against them, which is how she's able to defeat Jason Scott Lee, who I know him mostly from he was in live action. Oh, there's another. That's right. I forgot. There's also a live action Jungle Book, but he was in the first live action Jungle Book.
Right.
But where he was an adult, he was an adult Mowgli, where he has to fight Cary Elwes, who was the bad guy in that. I actually like that one too. That particular storytelling. And yeah, it's funny. Do what?
I did too, yeah.
Yeah. And Jason Scott Lee is also one of those humans who he's actually Hawaiian. Like he's got some Polynesian in him, but he looks foreign enough that he can play like, you know, like in this movie he plays like a Mongolian. Like in the cartoon it's the Huns. And this, they use the more period.
Was it Ronin?
Something like that. But they're a northern.
Rorans,
yeah.
Yeah.
But they're basically like from the nomadic tribes of like Mongolia.
Right.
And then in. He also plays Bruce Lee in Dragon, a Bruce Lee story, where where he's Chinese. So like he's one of those actors that can. If you need someone to be of some type of Asian descent, he can do that. You know, it's just kind of interesting. Anyway, I'm really glad I watched this, and I'm also glad that I watched it with the family. I actually had a good time with this because I decided going into it to, well, one, I watch it, you know, through the eyes of the podcast, but also don't think of it like a remake of the cartoon. Think of this as how someone would make this story, obviously in today's age, and they changed some things.
Right. And it could have been done by anybody. It didn't have to be Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But Disney doing it allowed them some things. But I kind of like that there isn't an Eddie Murphy Mushu character.
Right.
Because I don't think it would fit this style of movie. Because I think this style of movie is trying to pay respect to the Chinese culture that this movie is showing and honoring, I think.
Yeah. I'm with you.
So something else that I also thought was really interesting too. So in the original movie, she falls in love, Mulan, with the drill sergeant, the commander, the captain, whatever he is. So I was reading in the trivia that the reason why they changed that in this movie, because we now live in a Me Too, post Me Too time, and they felt that a girl falling in love with the guy who is her superior would come across as too inappropriate.
Yeah.
So that's why they make it so that she falls with a comrade, someone that's her equal, which makes a lot of sense, honestly. And that's why they take the James Hong, not James Hong, BD Wong character from the cartoon and actually break him into two different characters. Right, so you've got like gruff old drill sergeant guy who's barking orders, and then kind of wise commander in Donnie Yen. So I kind of like that move. I know some people probably saying, "Oh, it's Disney being woke," but I think it's a perfectly acceptable move to do. So it didn't bother me at all.
No, but. I didn't even notice that it was a different character than in the anime, because I haven't seen the animated movie in a long time.
Yeah. That's one of the movies that we watch pretty regularly in our house. It's one of those Saturday, it's raining, Daphne, my daughter, says, "Hey, let's watch a movie." We rotate through kind of the Disney classics, the Disney Renaissance films, your Little Mermaids, Mulan, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, and what's the fifth
Aladdin.
One? Aladdin. We rotate through those five a lot in our house. So I've seen Mulan pretty recently, and I can even tell you what my favorite moment in that movie is. And so they're cartoons, you know, so that when you have cartoons, sizes of people can be drawn differently than like how actual people are. So in this movie, you know, the guy that says, "I don't care what she looks like, I just care what she cooks like." Because this movie, we don't get a lot of time with the team. It's mostly her, a little bit of the love interest, but mostly her. It's mostly Mulan and the bad guys. We get a lot of bad guy time. Not nearly as much bad guy time as the cartoon. But in the cartoon, we get a lot of time with the team. And then we get a lot of the team building And it's a, and there are tropes, right? You've got like the one guy that's short and gruff and mean, and then you got the big guy that's just loving and like zen. And then you've got the skinny guy who's like the ugliest dude ever drawn, but he's the ladies' man. And then you know what I'm saying? Like they're all tropes, right? And so in the cartoon, the big dude, I don't know his name, but he's huge, right? He's like 7 feet tall if he were a human and 320 pounds. And so it's the avalanche is happening, and Mulan has saved her commander on her horse. And she ties a rope to the saddle and shoots an arrow as they're going over a cliff. And one of the team, one of her guys, her co, whatever, grabs the arrow. And then another guy comes over and grabs him. And then the third guy grabs him. And they're all about to go over when the big guy just walks up and bear hugs the three of them and deadlifts the three of them with the rope and Mulan and the commander and a horse.
Yeah.
And just deadlifts them because, you know, it's a cartoon, so physics are not really important, and saves them. But it's this really great moment where he just, like, he calmly just walks up and then just bear hugs them and just picks up a 300-pound horse along with, you know, two other bodies. Mm-hmm. And I will get to, at the end of the podcast, what my favorite moment of this movie was, because I captured it in audio, and it got me a little choked up, a little bit. Little choked up in the back of my throat, you know, that little back of your throat when you start to get the feels.
Gotcha.
I don't know, I just, there's some things that I actually really like about this movie. I really do. And we'll get to a couple things that I didn't like, but anything off the top of your head that just really stunned out, like stood out to you as just like, this didn't work?
No, I thought all of it was just fine. Like I didn't have problems with anything really. The characters I thought, you know, like you said, we didn't spend much time with the team or the folks in her barracks, but I felt like it, that part of it was enough. I don't know if we would have gotten more of that if it would have taken away from the story we had. But yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of awkwardness. I did like the scene where they're like, oh, you really need a bath. Like, you need to go get clean.
Yeah.
And then her friend shows up there to bathe with her.
Yeah.
Thinking it's a dude. I mean, I just think how awkward that would be if you're trying to bathe. And it is at night, which helps, but you're trying to bathe, but also hide your gender in water.
Yeah.
While someone else is in their water with you. That would be tough.
And that scene is in the cartoon. But it's played differently. There's more comic relief to it because the whole team is there bathing and she's kind of freaking out. And the way that they get them out is Mushu goes into the water and bites one of them. And so then they scream that there's a snake in the water or something. And so, like, all the dudes are, like, naked on a rock in the middle of the river or whatever, and she's able to escape, so which is pretty funny. Our lead actress, we haven't really talked about the actress or other than some of the main characters. So Liu Yuffie, I'm probably not saying that right, but we've actually seen her before on the podcast.
Oh, yeah?
She was in the movie Forbidden Kingdom that we did.
Oh, okay.
That was a long time ago. It was episode 122. I looked it up.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So, you know, the girl... So, you have the white dude that's in the movie, right? That goes to, like, you know, feudal China to help save the Monkey King. So, the girl that has the jade hairpin, that's her. It's the same girl.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the one with... Jackie Chan?
Yeah. So it's Jackie Chan and Jet Li.
Yeah.
It's their first time being in a movie together.
Yeah. Okay.
Which was cool. And then also, I'll just go ahead and get this out of the way. So the woman that plays her mother, Mulan's mother, Rosalind Chow, she's our Star Trek connection. She's married to Miles O'Brien in Deep Space Nine. So.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw her, I was like, I leaned over to my wife and said, she's our Star Trek connection. And she just rolled her eyes. Like, of course there is.
You know, we have a Back to the Future connection.
Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Well, Jason Scott Lee is one of the gang members, I think, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that until I was looking through the cast here and I was like, wait a minute. He was in Back to the Future?
Yeah. He's one of the.
And then I remembered that he was, yeah, he was one of the two gang members with Biff.
Yeah. He's in Back to the Future too, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he has one line, right? Isn't he the guy that screams, hoverboards don't work on water unless you got power or something like that? Yeah. He's one of those guys. Yeah. Unless you got power. I think that's him. And they replace the cricket, right? Because in the movie, she has a lucky cricket, and they replace it with a character from the team who they call Cricket, which is nice. And there's also no songs in this movie.
Right. It's not a musical like most Disney. Yeah, you're more familiar. I don't really watch a lot of Disney remakes. I know, seems like there was in Beauty and the Beast, but is there music? Are they musicals? Usually, or they take that aspect away.
So I've only seen Cinderella once, and that one had some of the musical stuff. Let's see. I know there was a couple of the songs in The Lion King. There's none in this one. I'm trying to think. Beauty and the Beast definitely has Be Our Guest. Beauty and the Beast is basically the exact same movie. It's a live action version. Because they sing Be Our Guest. The Gaston has his song. They sing the opening bit where she's a, you know, whatever girl. They even, like, when Gaston is riling up the mob, they sing that song. It's the same song. They add a song to that one, actually. They actually make it more of a musical adding a song.
I remember that.
Yeah. So really, this is the only one I can think of that isn't a musical. Because Aladdin has all the songs, or at least a few of them.
Yeah.
Because it has Friend in Me and the Prince Ali March. And I don't know. I can't remember. Are there any other songs in that movie? After he gets... Right? Seriously, there's no more songs after that, right? Like, once he gets there... Oh, no, there's Part of Your World. Not Part of Your World. I can show you a whole new world. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the last song, I think, in the movie. Except there's a reprise or a reprise, however you want to do it, with Jafar. But yeah, those songs are in there. So yeah, I think this is the only one that they don't do that with. So sorry, you had your arm up, but the way that the camera was like framing it out, it made it look like you put your foot right in front of your camera.
No, I'm moving my microphone, but I rearranged a little bit. So my microphone is now attached to a shelf, which is itself movable. And so as I was moving the microphone, the entire desk started moving.
Oh, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. couple little pieces of trivia I got before I do clips. Actor and martial artist Jet Li, who plays the Emperor, admitted turning down the role because of the script and pay. But when his daughters told him that it was important for Disney to shine a light on Chinese culture, he backtracked and accepted the role. Which I think
nothing is like a little daughter guilt trip to.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Mushu from Mulan does not appear in the live action remake. Disney made the choice to ensure that the live action remake stayed true to Chinese culture and traditions. Instead, Disney included the phoenix in the film, which is a sign of peace and prosperity in Chinese culture.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool. I also like that she is the only one that can see it, the phoenix. Like it's
kind of like her spirit guide.
Yeah. That's a really good way to explain that. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, if there's nothing, let me ask you this then. I'm going to ask you this last question, then I'll do we'll move on to clips. So there's magic in this movie, right? We've got a witch that can transform into different animals and take the shape of other people. Are we good with that? Are we okay with that? I mean,
yeah, I think so. I mean, it didn't bother me at all. It did kind of bother me a little that towards the end, she's like, you know what? That guy kind of is a dick. I'm going to help you out, even though I'm dying. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It was kind of a quick, all of a sudden, I'm now not going to be evil.
I wrote, this is what I wrote. Bad guy has a change of heart because they see themselves in the hero and dies for them trope.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a trope. You're right.
Yeah, like the bad guy that was reluctant to become a bad guy and then sees the hero, identifies themselves with the hero just before they became the bad guy, and then wants to give the hero a chance to not be a bad guy. We've seen that before.
Yeah, I wish in this one we would have seen a little bit more reluctance beforehand, because I feel like it was very much, I want to be the bad guy.
Yeah. Well, and she does have, throughout the movie, there is kind of like a conflict between her and Bori Kai. You know, it's like, yeah. He says, oh, no, I'm not your boss. It's fine. And then another time, she's like, oh, so now I work for you. And he's like, yeah, I'm your master. And then when she meets with Mulan, the two of them, she's like, you know, they don't respect you. They don't know who you are. Like, your chi is strong, but it will never be strong. Like, I don't know. I kind of felt like her arc was fine. Now, her sacrificing herself for Mulan, I thought was a bit much, but yeah. I get why they did that in the story, but I just think it's interesting. Like, the first movie, there is no magic. There's just there's an ancestral dragon that helps him out, but there's not magic.
Right.
You know, but then this one is like, oh no, we're going to do historical Chinese kind of cultural things where we got dudes that can run on walls, and we're going to do some wire work, which I love wire work. I love Kung Fu with wire work, personally. I love that. And I also love the fact that Jet Li got to do Jet Li things. I mean, when he gets trapped by Bori Kai at the end in the future palace place, whatever it is, he uses his robes as a weapon or whatever. Not his robes, but like the fabric. Like he's doing, you know, old school Kung Fu stuff with that, which I thought was super cool. I really appreciated that. So, yeah. All right. I was just curious if that was a thing that bothered you. Cause I think the first time I saw it, it bothered me. Like, oh, really? We're going to have magic in this thing? We got a wizard or a witch doing stuff. But now it's like, you know, I'm good with it. I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Personally. All right. You ready for some clips?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Here's my first one, and this bothered the hell out of me.
We'll destroy this roaring army and their witch. Here's my decree. We'll build a mighty army. Every family will supply one man.
Yeah. Sorry, that was an awkward cutoff. So that doesn't sound like Jet Li at all to me. At all. And I've watched a lot of Jet Li movies. I mean, probably 20 or so. And even in Forbidden Kingdom, where he pretends to be an old man, he doesn't sound like that. It sounds like, and also if you're watching, and it's funny, my wife and daughter said this. They said, it doesn't look like his mouth is actually moving. It looked like they CGI'd his mouth. Like he delivered his lines with his kind of English is my second language, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they dubbed it over to match somebody else speaking. It was very distracting to me. I don't know if anybody else picked up on that, but
I didn't notice it. It didn't bother me.
Yeah, it drove me nuts.
I may not have been watching his mouth that closely.
Yeah, well, and that's fine, but again, I love Jet Li. Like I said, I've seen a bunch of his film. I own a bunch of his films, mm-hmm. And in fact, the first DVD I ever bought was Romeo Must Die. I think I'm on record saying that before. It's a Jet Li film, really, really fun movie. But I don't know, just the way he delivered his lines, all of his lines really bothered me. I don't know why, but I don't know. Anyway, here was the number two.
I served the Imperial Army in the last battle against the Northern invaders.
Have you no son old enough to fight?
I am blessed with two daughters.
I like that line. I'm blessed with two daughters. I thought that was cool. I like yeah. the dad a lot in this movie. He's really cool. I liked him. Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think. There was another piece of trivia I wanted to share with you real quick. Ming-Na Wen, the original voice of Mulan, appears as the esteemed guest who introduces Mulan to the emperor. She was supposed to have another cameo as the matchmaker, but because she was filming Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., she had to do a much shorter appearance in the movie. But that woman at the end where, you know, well, and we know her as Fennec Shand from The Mandalorian. Like, yeah. that's her.
Yeah, she's great.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome as an actress.
And she was, wasn't she, wasn't the original voice of Mulan, was she?
Yeah, that's what I just said. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, she was, yeah, no, you're fine. She was the original Mulan, yeah. Yeah, the dad was awesome. I love the dad. And here's the hint. The my favorite moment in the movie features him. Okay. Since this movie has no music or no songs, they do make references to some of the songs, such as,
"We're going to make men out of every single one of you."
There you go. I cut it short, but then they do a little musical reference. Yeah. In fact, there's musical references to Reflection, Honor to Us All, I'll Make a Man Out of You, and then this part.
"It's white as milk. Her fingers like the tender white roots of a green onion.
Ling is a romantic.
Her eyes are like morning dewdrops.
I like my women buxom. With strong, wide hips.
I like kissing women with cherry red lips.
I don't care what she looks like.
I agree.
I care what she cooks like."
So those are lines directly from the song "A Girl Worth Fighting For."
Yeah.
So that's what they did in order to kind of maintain some of those moments. They just turned them into lines. Okay. This is a nice, not a Popeye moment, but this is just a good moment where we have the team backs her up.
"Why do you not believe Hua Mulan? She risked everything by revealing her true identity. She's braver than any man here. And she's the best warrior amongst us.
I believe Hua Mulan.
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 I believe Hua Mulan."
I like that part.
Yeah.
Now, best part of the movie for me, right? And it's kind of the same for the cartoon, right? She has saved the kingdom. She has vanquished the enemy, and she returns home with the sword of her enemy and a favor from the emperor, and she hands them to her dad as to say, "Dad, here are these things that I accomplished while I was gone for you." And then he takes them and throws them on the ground and then embraces her as to say, "I don't care about these things. I care about you as a person." Right. And we have that moment, you know, she comes home and she's like, "Dad, I'm so sorry. I dishonored you." And he's like, "No, I should have let you be the person that you..." They have this really sweet moment. And then Dad says this.
"Hello, old friend."
Sorry. I set the scene for you if you haven't watched it. She's come home. The whole village is there. And they all they know is that she left, and that now she's returned, and that she stole the dad's honor. I don't know if the whole village knows what she did, but she's returned. And so they have this moment where she's confessed to what she did. And that she lost the family sword, and so they have this really sweet moment. And then the Imperial Guard shows up along with Donnie Yen, who was her commander, who was also her dad's commander in the previous war. So we have this. So we have this moment here.
Hello, old friend.
Tongyong, I'm honored to receive you and the Emperor's Guard. But if you're here to discipline Mulan, you have to get past me.
I do not believe that would be necessary.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. The man can barely stand, but he is going to fight and die for his daughter. Because he doesn't know what's about to happen. Because he knows the law that women can't do certain things. And the law says that she betrayed and dishonored and all this stuff. And so that she should be put to death. And so here comes an armed military guard to his house. And his instinct, his first instinct is to protect his daughter, to stand between her and what would be certain death. I love it. I just love that. That moment got me. Oh, it got to me. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. As I was snuggling with my daughter, it's like, you know, I am the least intimidating person ever, but like you come to hurt my kid, then hands will be used. So I just, I love that. I really do. So favorite part of the movie. All right. Time for this.
You're an idiot!
Okay, that's not the right line. This is the line.
And now for some more bad news. Ready?
This is what I do for this. So I didn't ask you, do we have a game today? I didn't even think to ask you.
Well, I do have some questions, but I figured since it's just you and me, I'll just see if you noticed them.
All right, let's just go. This is the game of, hey, did you notice? And we'll see if, hey, did I notice?
Yeah. All right, so what was Mulan's sister doing while Mulan was chasing the chicken at the beginning of the movie? As a little kid, you know, she's chasing the chicken. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's chasing the chicken, but the sister is... She's with the mom.
Uh-huh.
She's with the mom. Is she, like, having... Is mom, like, just, like, brushing her hair, or she's...
No.
Is she learning to write? I can't remember what she's doing, but it's...
No.
I don't remember.
She's weaving.
Weaving as basket weaving. That's right.
Yeah.
I knew she was doing something with her mom. With Keiko.
All right. How many Rurons are the enemy are shown riding toward the city in the first scene that we see them? Because you see them as one initially, and then they split and form a line.
Is it 7? It's an odd number.
It is an odd number.
So it's 7 or 9.
It's neither of those. It's actually 13.
13. God, it's a bigger... It's a flying V. I knew that. I knew he was the center. And I knew it was an odd number, but okay. 9.
I thought that was kind of cool, too, how it shows them as one, and then all of a sudden they start to spread out, and the guards freak out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, when they run up walls, you would freak out, too. Which, by the way, speaking of running up walls, did you ever see that really bad Matt Damon movie, The Great Wall?
I don't think so.
It's bad, but we should do it for the podcast. It's like it's like the origin story for the Great Wall of China. It's ridiculous.
And it's got Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Yeah, it's another one of those white guy has to come save the day kind of a thing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how he got it. It's probably one of those things where he signed like a three movie contract with a studio and mm-hmm. In order to get him to do The Martian, he has to do this. Something like that.
Right. Okay. The next question is, at the tea with the matchmaker, other than the teapot and the cups and the spider, what other item is on the table?
So besides the teacups and the spider,
and the teapot.
Besides,
yeah.
So like not...
one other item. That gets put on the table.
Not the the placemat for the teapot, not the mat for the teapot.
Well, yeah, that I'm not counting that either.
Okay, that's, so not that's teapot either. Accoutrement.
Right.
There's something else that gets placed on the table.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure it's put on the table by the mother.
I mean, off the top of my head, it I would say something like a flower, or but it would have to be something like it would probably have to be some kind of reference to the original movie. But I don't remember seeing anything else put down other than the teapot, a jade hairpin. I don't know.
It was a fan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because they're carrying fans in this movie.
Yeah.
At the beginning, so she put her fan on the table.
Okay.
Okay, the next question is kind of a two-part question, so I'm counting it as the fourth and fifth question. So I guess question number four, how many words are on Mulan's sword?
Well, there's three at the beginning, and then they add a fourth one.
All right. So what are the words?
Loyal, brave, and true. Question.
Right.
And then devotion to family is the last one.
Right.
Now, that one's a little unfair because...
It is a little unfair.
Well, it's because I know... I don't have a copy of my... on my computer that does music, but... just give me a second. This is... this playlist. So I have this this dude that does Disney covers. Peyton Parrish. He does these metal... crap, where is it? So, yeah, we just got... I just got a notice from YouTube for that. But this song is called Loyal, Brave, and True. I've heard that song about 30 or 40 times because I love his album. It's all Disney music that's metal covers. And it's awesome. I mean...
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it rocks. It all rocks. So I wish if you guys like Disney music and you like metal, I highly recommend Peyton Parrish. It's
kind of a funny combination.
It is. It is really funny. My favorite song, again, I wish I had a way to, I mean, I do have a way to do it on the computer. But my favorite one of those actually is from The Lion King. The lion sleeps tonight. It's pretty awesome. It's a pretty awesome cover. So, anyway, you have any other questions?
No, that was it.
Oh, okay. Well, I got one. Yeah. Yeah. But again, I got that one because I know that song very well. Originally done by. Christina Aguilera. She does it at the end of the cartoon. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Yes. All right. I've been stalling here. I'm trying.
Recordings
to...
just got back.
Oh no, they didn't. I was trying to find.
We are sponsored by.
Yeah. Yeah, we're sponsored by this dude Peyton Parrish. Here we go. Just I just have to play this real quick. Just we're gonna get a little.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. We definitely got kicked off of YouTube for that, but I think it's worth it. I love that stuff, man. That rocks for me. If that doesn't
it sounded like a little throat singing, in
that's
there too,
what he
like,
does. He does when he gets into the way. It's all raspy in his voice.
Yeah,
he does a great cover of "Let It Go." He does. Those are some of my favorites. But the other one that's really cool is he does "Hoist the Colors" from Pirates of the Caribbean. And that's
I think I've heard that one.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that one is really cool. And also "Go the Distance" from "Son of Man" from Tarzan, and "Go the Distance" from
I think his
Hercules.
Version of "Hoist the Colors" from Pirates is used a lot on TikTok.
They do it might be his. There's several versions of "Hoist the Colors" that are used a lot on TikTok. It might be his. I don't know, but either way, Peyton Parrish rocks. And maybe I'll tag him on this podcast to let him know that I use some of his music. He might not like that, but we'll find out. Time for this.
Everyone!
All right, this is where we give this movie a score from 0 to 10. And as always, we start with Andrew.
Well, it is a 5.8 on IMDb. And that, I don't know. I don't feel like it deserves to be that low. I feel like that's kind of low for a Disney movie and for a live action, that wasn't a musical. It was just really just a movie. And maybe it's low because people expected it to be a remake of the movie, of the animated movie, and it wasn't. But I think for what it is, it's fine. I'm glad I watched it again. I don't know that I want to watch it again like immediately, but if we're, a couple months from now, might be in the mood to watch it again. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Did you watch this with your boys?
I didn't. Yeah.
Okay. It might be one to watch with them. I don't know.
Yeah.
If they...
They're busy with sports, track, and basketball, so...
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Speaking of sports, my son played soccer. His first game of soccer was yesterday. And due to attrition, meaning not enough kids showed up to play, he had to go in a goalie. And he actually likes playing goalie. He's actually pretty good at it. He stopped not one, but two balls with his face.
Nice.
And the second one took him out of the game. He has a bruise on the bridge of his nose. He's got a little bit of a black eye. But he stopped the ball. He stopped it.
Well, yeah.
And I mean, everyone was cheering for him. I mean, I went over to the sideline, to give him, I had his water. And like, he was just bawling his eyes out. I'm like, dude, I know you're in pain, but you stopped the ball with your face, man. That's cool. So he.
I have a similar story when I was in Little League soccer. The goalie, it wasn't me. I was on the other side of the field, but I saw it happen. It was a girl. She had braces, and the ball went right for her face. And she was on our team, so she came over. They brought her over, and we were all, on the bench because of this incident. We all had to take a few minutes. Blood was coming out of her mouth. Her front two teeth were sideways.
Oh,
they were horizontal, God. Hanging on to her braces.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
Yeah, we told him that night. I said, if you're gonna have to play goalie more, we might have to get you a mouth guard because he's already had round one of braces. Oh my gosh! All right. Anyway, 6.5. Okay, that's cool. That's higher than Blue Beetle for you.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it as much, if not a little bit more. Yeah,
all right.
I guess I did like it a little more.
Yeah. I don't really disagree with you, and it's funny you said for a Disney movie. We watched Wish last night. That's like at a 5.8 on IMDb. People do not like that movie at all.
Well, I don't know much about it. I haven't even seen it.
Again, we watched it last night. I get some of the issues with it, but I thought it was fine. It's fine. I mean, it is like the most fine Disney movie I think I've ever seen. It's just... it hits all the marks that you need. Talking animal, main character that's you know, kind of a badass, a bad guy that, you know, is just in it for power and whatever. It hits a lot of the check marks, like what you need in a Disney movie. Catchy songs.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm going to give this a 6.2. I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. I don't love it. I think it's good. So yeah, go watch it. And if you ever, you know, next time you have a chance to do a family movie night with your family, I'm not saying this to you, Andrew, I'm saying to anybody. Next time you have a chance to do family movie night, this is not one to shy away from. I think this is, if you like the original, I think you should give this a chance, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Should, yeah, definitely do that.
And have an open mind. Don't go into it thinking that it's the cartoon just in live action form.
Yeah, yeah. It's not. It isn't. And I think that that's okay. I really do.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, honestly, of all of the live action movies that they've done, this is probably the most brave. Because mm-hmm. they went so
stray from the
yeah they strayed original. So far from the original material,
yeah.
So I actually applaud them for that. So good on them for that. You know what I didn't do? I didn't even think about this. Let me check this real quick. I went to the IMDb page for The Wall, the Great Wall. I have some really funny things to tell you about that before we move on. So this movie had a $200 million budget, but it only grossed about $70 million worldwide. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I was curious to see if it did better, like, in China than here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But IMDb doesn't break it down that way. I guess box office Mojo probably does, but that's fine. Anyway, I do want to say this. So that Great Wall movie, The Great Wall, I noticed that it had 3 wins. So I was curious as to what things this movie would have won.
Okay.
2018, outstanding film for the director, Yimou Zhang. He won that for the Hubio Film Awards. I know I'm pronouncing that wrong. Golden Trailer Awards. It won Golden Fleece TV Spotlight. It was nominee for that. Excuse me. What nominee? It won Outstanding Film for the Chinese American Film Festival. And then it wins for something called the All Deaf Movie Awards, DEF. Movie Awards, which I don't know what that is.
Comedy?
I guess. I don't know. I'll have to. I'm gonna look at some of this. Anyway, it won 2017 for most out of place white person in a movie for Matt Damon.
Yeah, that makes sense.
For Matt Damon, yeah. Other movies that this thing, 2017 specifically, let's see. The movie Keanu, remember that movie?
Uh-huh.
Tiffany Haddish won Badass Boss Chick Award. Donnie Yen won Badass Mother Effer Award. This sounds like
these
an award.
Things.
Like this sounds like nothing but like superlatives for films, right?
Right.
Best Comedy Without Madea or Kevin Hart, Keanu won. Best Latino not in a service industry role, Luis Guzman for Keanu. Let's see. Best performance by an Asian not asked to use an accent was by Jimmy O. Yang for Patriots Day. Oh my God. This is fantastic. Best smash in a motion picture is Mike Epps and Queen Latifah in the movie called Bessie. Best hero token sidekick goes to Leslie Uggams for Deadpool.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. And then, oh my gosh, for most out of place white person in a movie, let's see, the movie Aloha, the movie Gods of Egypt, the movie The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise, The Great Wall, and Doctor Strange with Tilda Swinton. because her character is Tibetan in the comic books, but they made her Celtic so that they can.
And I think I complained about that.
Yeah, we all did, but they did that because of China. They wanted to sell the movie in China, and you can't.
Yeah.
Tibet can't be a thing.
Movies
you wish you could unsee when goes to Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice. This is now my favorite thing ever. This all deaf movie awards. I have got to find more of that. I know that listening to me read things off the internet's not always the most fun, but that was hysterical. All deaf movie award winners. I got to find more of these. I'm not going to do any more. I'm not going to keep doing this, but this is hysterical. All right. That's it. Next week, we are doing another movie in our all family friendly movie. We are doing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. That's the newest one that came out that Seth Rogen produced. And it's like it's almost like a stop motion animated style film. Not seen it yet. Really looking forward to it. And I know the kids are looking forward to watching it too. So, by the way, my kids, they both liked Mulan. They thought it was pretty good. My son, you know, he did say, I wish there was Mushu in it, but both my kids like this movie. So they had a good time with it. Anyway, that's it. That's our show. Thank you so much for listening. Go to our website, cheapseatreviews.libsyn.com. There you'll find links to all the things that you are needing, as well as go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/cheapseatreviews. Follow us there, like and subscribe, all the good stuff. Leave us comments like Colleen does. She comments on just about every episode, and which is awesome. And if you are curious as to if we've done a movie, like she messaged me on... Actually, I think she actually just asked on a comment on YouTube and just says, hey, have you done such and such? Yeah, and I'll just send her the link to the thing. Or it's through Facebook Messenger, one of the two. It doesn't matter. My point is, if you're curious, hey, have you done such and such? Feel free to message me. I'll let you know if we've done it. I'll send you the link to it so you can listen to that episode. We've done 400-plus episodes. It's not always easy to just, if you only want to listen to our review of The Rock, you know, if it's hard to scroll through and find it, just let me know. I'll send you the link. It's that easy. I'm here to make your life easier. But we have done The Rock. It's one of the few Nicolas Cage movies that Andrew actually can stand.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, like really few, one of the very few. So,
yes, it
is. But yeah, that's going to do
it. Face Off. That's about it.
Yeah, we should do Face Off. We should do that for the podcast.
It's a family film.
Yeah, I don't think it is. that's going to do it. So on behalf of Andrew and Sam, who will be here next week, this is Sean saying thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
This is Cheap Seat Reviews.